So Yisrael by Yisrael Saris, they went up and they inspected the land. Mimidbar Tzinah Ruchiv Lavoi Hamas. So we're going to see a pasuk in the Torah. The spies went up and they spied. They by Yisrael Saris, they surveyed the land. Mimidbar Tzin. So we learned yesterday. This means on the southern boundary. The southern boundary on the right side, which is the east, the Midbar Tzid, that's Saudi Arabia. Add all the way until Rechov, all the way until Rechov is a place called Rechov that's right by the Mediterranean. That is the bottom left portion of Eretz Yisrael. If we assume that we're facing Eretz Yisrael and the top is the north, and Rechov then is a location, it's a city in the west, the southwest. Levoi Hamas means, and then go up to Hor HaHor, go all the way up along the coast, the Mediterranean. And Rashi told us, Moshe told them, they should hug two of the four boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Kamin Gam. What is a Gam? A Gam is the third letter in the Greek alphabet, and it's basically what we would say in the way it's presented over here from our perspective. It's like the letter L, the capital letter L. If we make believe that we're looking at Eretz Yisrael, and the classic map of the land, where the top of the map is the north, and the bottom of the land is the south, and on the right side is the east, and on the left side is the west, then Moshe is telling them that you shall inspect the land by only inspecting the two boundaries, the letter L, and you start from the bottom of the letter L on the right side, and you make your way to the left side, and then you go up. And you go straight up. This is what Moshe told them to do. So if we have Midbar Tzin, Midbar Tzin is the bottom right. That is the southeast, Ad Rechov, until the southwest. And then Levo Hamas. Levo means to go, to travel Hamas up to a place called Hamas, which is the top, which is the northwest of Eretz Yisrael. So what happened? Vayel Vanegev, they ascended. They went up the Negev. They went up Vanegev. Vanegev, I guess over here means they went up over here towards the south. They went up the Negev. Vayavo ad Chevron, and they came into Chevron. Now when it says Vayavo ad Chevron, we tried to say yesterday that Vayalu Vanegev is plural. There's a contradiction here in the Pasuk. Vayalu means they. Vayavo means he. The Pasuk should have said Vayavo'u, not Vayavo. And if you want to say that we're going to describe the spies in the collective noun or in the collective verb in this form, then it should say vaya'al. So there is a contradiction in this pasuk. Is it vaya'al? If we're going to focus on vaya'alu, then it should say vayavo'u. If we're going to focus on the word vayavo, it should say vaya'al. Why is there a difference in the form? The answer is, Vayalu refers to all of the Meraglim. They all went to the south. They all traveled along the southern side. But only one of the 12 Shvatim, of the 12 Nesiim spies, he actually penetrated the land, and he went until Chevron. Vayavo ad Chevron. Who was this? This we learned in Rashi yesterday was Yehoshua. It was Hoshea. And with Amomahu, it was Hoshea. Hoshea went to Davin by
Kalev.
I'm sorry, Kalev. What am I saying? Kalev. Thank you very much, Mark. Kalev. Kalev went to the Moris Machpel in Chevron. Chevron, we discussed yesterday. I was thinking about this yesterday a lot after the shiur. It's a shocking thing is that, you know, in America we talk a lot about BLM. Isn't it shocking that it's not a joke, that Chevron, the place of the Maris Machpelah, it was built by Chom for Canaan. Canaan are the Avodim. We assume that the Kushim are from Canaan. Now think about this. This is the new insight from today. If this is true, that the Kushim are from Canaan, I always wondered, why did he bring to Eretz Yisrael the Kushan? Okay, Sancheirev, the king of Ashur, conquered the entire world. And he invented this technique called population relocation. In order to make sure that people do not rebel, he got them very busy. He gave them other problems. He took populations, hundreds of thousands of people, who knows how many, and he relocated everyone. Musical chairs. If you live in this part of the world, we're going to relocate you to this part of the world. You live over here, you're going to go over here. He took the Aseres HaShvatim, he relocated them to Ashur, and he replaced the Jewish people, the Aseres HaShvatim in Eretz Yisrael, with the Kushim. The Kushim. And the Kushim, they lived in the land, and they misbehaved, and the lions came out of the forest and began to eat them up. They took this as a sign that they're misbehaving in the Holy Land, and they converted, they didn't convert, until Chazal eventually came along and declared that the Kushim, their geirus is not sincere, v'chulu v'chulu. Why did the king of Ashur, did he repopulate the land of Eretz Yisrael with the Kushim? Why? Was just eeny, meeny, miny, mo? He had at his disposal all of the nations of the world. He could have put the Greeks there. He could have put the Romans. I mean, the ancestors of the Greeks and the Romans. They were. He could have taken the Indians from America. Okay, I'm just joking though. He could have taken any nation he wanted and put them in Eretz Yisrael. From all the nations of the world, he took the Kushim. My high, how do you understand that?
Well, why do you think it's only the Kushim? Maybe it was various.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. It's explicit in the Psukim. Sancheirev, he repopulated the land with the Kushim. Now, I'm assuming the Kushim, maybe I'm wrong, the Kushim are descendants of Canaan. I have to check this out. They're the Canaan, they're part of Canaan. They're part of the Avodim. Maybe I'm wrong, but if the Kushim are from Canaan, then we can understand why, at least b'hashgacha, why. I don't know what he was thinking, because from all of the, where is the Ma'aras HaMachpelah? The Ma'aras HaMachpelah is in Chevron. Chevron is basically, was built for Canaan. Chom built a city for each one of his children. He built Chevron for Canaan. The Avos, could you imagine this? The Avos are buried in a city that was built for Canaan. Canaanim. We're talking about over here, I'm assuming the Kushim. So they're just coming back home. This really is their mokon. And this is what I'm going to say now is very racist. Okay, I'm going to make a very racist statement, and that is why. What is the connection between the Kushim and the Avos? So let's go to Moshe Rabbeinu. I always like to say this: when Moshe Rabbeinu died, Hakadosh Baruch Hu was maspid Moshe. What was the hespid? What was Hashem's hespid for Moshe Rabbeinu? Vayomer Shom Moshe Eved Hashem. The greatest honor you can say about a Jew is that he is a servant to Hashem, Eved Hashem. Now, if this is true for Moshe Rabbeinu, how much more so is this true for Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were the Avdei Hashem, the servants of Hashem. Canaan was cursed to be a slave. Or Canaan, Eved Avodim Yihyeh Le'echov, is cursed. He will be a slave to his brethren. It's true for a human being to be a slave to another human being, that is a curse. That's a curse. That's their chelik. They're slaves. But there is a dimension about being a slave that is very noble. Because we're all slaves. We're all the Avdei Hashem. Avinu Malkeinu. Hashem, on the one hand, is our father. On the other hand, Malkeinu, he is our king. Im kibonim ve'im ka'avodim. Im kibonim rachamenu kirachim ov albonim ve'im ka'avodim einenu luchos liyos anshetachonenu v'sotzikar mishpoteinu oyom kadosh. Over and over in the Nusach HaTfilah, we pride ourselves on being the Avdei HaMokim. So it's not for nothing that the Ovois, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, are buried in a Mokim that was built by Chom for his fourth child, Kenan, that was built for Kenan. It was built for him, and Kenan was cursed. Noach cursed Chom. Chom disgraced his father. And Noach said to Chom, because you have done what you have done to me, I curse you. That your fourth child will be a slave. It was a curse. You prevented me from having a fourth child. Thus, Mida Keneged, Mida, your fourth child will be cursed. He will be a slave. What did Chom do? Chom built a city called Chevron for this cursed child called Kenan. Now, what's the purpose? What's that all about? And what's in Chevron? The Ma'ara Samach Pela. What's going on over here? So I don't know exactly. I'm just thinking aloud with you. But there's some concept here. Is that maybe it's part of a therapeutic correction or a technique for them to this. Now that you are cursed as being an Eved, let's make the most out of it. There is some nobility in being an Eved, in channeling that Avdus to serve Hashem. There's anyone in Klal Yisrael who deserves the honorific title of being an Eved Hashem. Well, Moshe got it. It was the Avos. So it's not a coincidence that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are buried in a city that was built for Kenan, who is an Eved. The whole city of Chevron is a city of Avdus. It was built, the soil, the essence of this city, it was built with a kavona to be the home of Avodin. So Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are avodim. They're not avodim in a bad way. Adarabba, they're avodim in the most noble of ways. But there is a common thread. There's a similarity that goes between the two. And if Cush, if I'm not mistaken, Cush is part of Canaan, the part of Chum's fourth son. Then you have an appreciation of why, with Klal Yisrael had to be removed from the land because of their sins. Hashem was giving Musa, who's going to replace you? Avodim, people you should learn from them. They are Avodim, that's what you're supposed to be. And the proof is, okay, enough said about this. This is a review from yesterday.
And it's, no, but it's interesting because I think there are many examples where you have the flip side of everything.
Zelu mazeh. Correct. So you're trying to suggest another idea is that this is the worst possibility. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov represent the apex, the most noble of noble. And Kenan represents the lowest of the low. And there is this balance. Zelu mazeh bor Elokim. The Mokim where you're going to find the greatest Kedusha, there you're going to find the greatest Tumah. Okay? Chazal says in the Beis HaMikdash, the Yetzer Hara in the Beis HaMikdash was beyond belief. Why? Because the Yetzer Toiv in the Beis HaMikdash was beyond belief. Okay, so you're saying a different idea. You're saying that it's Zeh L'Mazeh. I'm trying to say that they really go together. When there is a Midah of Avdus, it all depends on how you channel it. You can channel the Midah of Avdus in a positive way, or you can channel the Midah of Avdus in a negative way. Now let's look over here. Now let me finish the pasuk. They went by Negev. They came up in the Negev. They came to Chevron. The shaman there in Chevron was Achimon, Sheshai, Salmai, these three people. Yilidei Ho'anok. Now we translate the word Anok to mean the giant. Rashi made it very clear the word Anok. Anok means It's not the name of a person. We have three people. We learned yesterday we have Vayevar Chevron. No, that's the next pasuk.
You
so if it's Soyan, we see Rashi, Shevash, and Nosan. I don't know, there is no Rashi. The Rashi doesn't say anything over here. Okay, we'll come to the Targum in one moment.
I looked up last night. You raised a question about why only Kalev went to Hebron. In the Sefer Emek Adover by Naftali Tzvi Belen, he says actually they all diverted to Hebron, but the other individuals were afraid to go in to the city of Hebron in the area because of the giants that were there. However, Kalev was not. He overcame the fear of them, and he went into Davin there. So they all went. So you would ask the Kasha last night, why did he, so to speak, violate Moshe Rabbeinu's
command? Yes. Yeah.
But according to the way the Emek Hadavar, and I saw that he says they all went.
They all went. Okay. So this needs more in. Okay. This needs more and more and more discussion. Okay. I hear 100%. Okay. Also, you have to take note that the Diak is a Diak, though, what Rashi says. The only one that went in was Vayavo B'loshen Yochit. Vayalu Vanegev. They went up to the south. Along the southern side, by Yavol Beloshen Yochid. Okay, let's go a little further. They came to Chevron Vashom Achiman Shesh V'Sam. They were three giants. Yeli Day, they were the children of Hanok of the Anak of the giant. The Chevron, and we don't have a very novel translation of the words of these words. The city Chevron, Sheva Shanim Nivnesa. This does not mean years. The word Shanim in this context means something completely different according to Rashi. It means seven measures. Of a greater Nivnisa, was it established? It was qualitatively seven times better Lifnei relative to Tzoan Mitzrayim, the city of Tzoan that existed in the country called Mitzrayim. Okay, so Sheva Shanim, we would translate this 7 years. If anyone over there has the article Chumash, I'm very curious to see how do they translate these words over here. Sheva. Art school prides themselves in translating the words according to Rashi, not according to anyone else. So over here,
had been built 7 years before.
Oh, that's not what it says. That's not what Rashi says. Rashi says it's not. Rashi, I'm shocked. Are you reading the art school, Chumash? Art school. See, which art school? Which art school are you reading? Which one? Which edition?
the English Rashi one. I'll look at the blue one now. Hold on.
Because they, in their hakdama, they pride themselves in telling you that we're going to be the first chumash that's going to translate the words of the pasuk according to Rashi. We're not going to follow any other influences of translation. And Rashi could not be more explicit. As we learned yesterday, the word Sheva Shanim Nivnas does not mean 7 years, Lifnei, before, chronologically. Sheva Shanim Nivnasa.
Yeah. And the two articles from Russian, they both say the same thing.
Okay, so we have to call Rabbi Nassim Sherman and ask him.
Well, where's the words were seven times better in the Rashi?
Rashi asked the question. We spent a lot of time on this yesterday, Rashi. So Rashi says, what does the pasuk mean? He says, it's pshat. He doesn't say, there's no choice. Ella, shahoysa mivuna. The word nivnisa does not mean built. The word nivnisa means it was established, it is qualitatively established. Okay, it was established b'chol toiv al echad mishiva bitsoyan. So sheva shana means seven times nivnisa was its qualitative advantage. Sheva shanim, seven measures greater nivnisa was its qualitative benefit, establishment. Essence above Lifnei relative to the city called Tzoan in Mitzrayim. Why are we comparing these two cities? So Rashi says because Chevron was great, was the poorest quality land in the entire Eretz Yisrael. Tzoyan, yeah.
Mark has it too. There's a note here on the bottom. The word Shana, he says. It's understood as repetitions in the sense of multiplication.
Right.
Meaning Rashi is rejecting the normal use of the word shana to mean years.
Correct.
Right. That's
Zach, Zach, what I said. Shanim does not mean years. Rashi rejects the translation of the word shanim.
Sheva. No, but the Oxcroll edition is giving that.
Right,
but so, not in the English translation above.
Well, he starts off what it normally means, I think, Mark.
Right. So Rashi, I'm just chopping with Oxcroll because Oxcroll in the introduction to the Stone edition. This is one of my pet peeves. I love Oxcroll. I told you I would. If I would get a tattoo, I would get a tattoo Oxcroll. I just like to chop a little bit. But Oxcroll in the introduction, into the introduction of the Oxcroll Chumash of the Stone Edition, they write there very explicitly that in our Chumash, we're doing something new that no one ever did before. And we're going to translate the text of the Bible according to the translation of Rashi. Not according to the translation of Uncleus, not according to the translation of any translation you've come across in the previous generations. So that's what now we're doing. The problem is, again and again and again, probably more often than not, they violate their own rule. And here is a case in point, where here it says the simple translation is Sheva Hashem Divnas Lefnetzor Mitzrayim, that this land heaven was built 7 years before the city of Tzoyan Mitzrayim was built. And Rashi says that cannot, under any condition, be correct, because
even says that in the note.
Right, he writes. There's no way in the world Chum, who built both of these cities, Chum was an architect. He was a very powerful person. There's no way in the world Chum would have built Hebron before he built the city of Tzoan, because Mitzrayim was his oldest son. And Canaan was his fourth son. There is no way in the world he would build a city for Canaan before he would build a city for Tzoan. So that cannot possibly be what it means. So what then does it mean? So when it says the word Nivnisa, so Rashi here says it means Mivuna. Mivuna means established. It means its qualitative advantage. Its qualitative advantage was Sheva Shanim, seven times more. Multiplication, like you said, repetition. It was seven times greater. Its qualitative advantage was seven times greater than Lifnei. Lifnei does not mean time. It means relative. Relative to the quality of the city called Tzoyan in Mitzrayim. To teach you that the poorest quality land in Eretz Yisrael was seven times greater than the best land in Egypt. Now let's see the Targum. Okay, we're so slow to Targum here. Unfortunately, I got carried away.
Tom's first son is Cush.
His first son is Cush. Okay, so then what I told you before is incorrect about Sancher. I told you, I'm not carried away what I told you before, but that prat about Cush has to be reevaluated because it has to be reevaluated by that Sancheriv. Sancheriv relocated Cush. Okay, let's put that aside then until we do further investigation. But everything else I said, I don't have any charot because they go that with our Avdus and Avraham and Avadim, that all that fits perfectly. But the other thing of Cush, of the relocation of the Cushim into Eretz Yisrael, why did he specifically select the Cushim? He did whatever he wanted to do, but we know that nothing happens in Eretz Yisrael without Hashkacha Pratis. And because the Baruch Hu put in his mind the Machshava to relocate, to repopulate the Holy Land with the Cushim, there's a very powerful message why that was so. Why were they singled out from all the nations of the world? And there's something there which needs to be understood. And if Cush is the oldest son of Chum, Chum was a cursed person. Chum was a cursed person because he was Mevaza, his father. All right, let's just take a look at the Targum now. Targum will be Apostle Chaf Aleph. Usaliku va'alilu yos'ada ara. Usaliku means they shall ascend. Salik means to go up. Va'alilu, this is probably in the beginning, last year we probably learned the Targum of the word of Yasuru. Here, for right now, we're just going to pass it over. It means to inspect. Okay, just for right now, let's not get too carried away because this really goes back to the beginning of the parasha. Yos'ada, the land, mimidbira ditzin, the desert of Tzin, which I'm telling you is Saudi Arabia, which is the southeast of Eretz Yisrael. Many men, there's very powerful, very convincing proof that Har Sinai took place somewhere in the middle of the Saudi Arabian desert. Ad until Rechoiv, until Rechoiv, What is Rechayiv? Rechayiv is a location. Rashi didn't even tell us what Rechayiv is. Rechayiv is a location. I'm saying now, it's a place. It's a place called Rechayiv. And where is it? It is on the southeast. It is right up against the Mediterranean. And then it says, Limotei Chamos. We learned in Rashi this to mean, and it could be over here is where the Targum has come to disagree with Rashi. Okay? Rashi is always a response to the Targum. Limotei means, Rashi learned, after you reach that city called Rechayiv, you come to the southwest. I now want you to turn up, go make turn your wheels and go up the land, go up north along the coast, the Mediterranean coast, until you get to a place called Chamos. Chamos is right next to, or is actually the same place as, a city called Hor Hahor. Is this the place where Aaron is buried? Not necessarily. There was seemingly more than one Hor Hahor, but this appears to be, according to Rashi, on the northwest of the land. Pasuk Chabeis, we're going to see the portion, we'll see the matzah in one moment. Chabeis usaliku bido roima. Okay, usaliku, they then proceeded to go up bido roima. They went up in the south, va'asoi. So I guess it means that before they actually went, they reached Rechayiv, it seems they took a detour. They took a detour, and they went up bido roima, va'asoi, and they went ad Chevron. They went to Chevron, they took a detour. V'samon over there, Achiman, Sheshai, V'salmai, B'nei. Now look at this. This is a very important word, Gibora, the son of the Gibor. Anok is not the name of a person. He's telling us, because come some of the Mepharshim who show us in the Ma'atzari hold that the word B'nei Anok, that was his first name. Mr. Anok. No, the word Anok is just a generic term for a mighty person. The Chevron, Sheva Shenin. You see, here is what the art scroll did in the violation. Where did the art scroll get their translation from? From the Targum. The Chevron, Sheva Shenin, 7 years. The word Shenin means years. He's the translator. It means over here, seven, multiplication of seven, of quality. He should say that. Isbinias. The word Isbinias means it was built like stone and mortar and wood, concrete, and you know, all these synthetic materials of the 21st century. Okay, Isbinias, Kodom before, Tanais de Mitzrayim. What's Tanais? Tunisia? No, I don't think so. Tanais is Tsoyan. It's Tsoyan de Mitzrayim. Now let's see the Ma'atzari for all the insight that needs to be. So the Pasuk is on the bottom of here. Pasuk of Aleph. Limotei, that means Limotei Chamos, Levo, Limagia, Levo Perush, Rechayiv, Shemisham Magiyim Lechamos. So it seems over here that he's coming to disagree from to Rechayiv. From there you go to Chamos. Let's go, we'll listen to a few more words. Yesham, some say Levo, Hushem, Hushem, it's the name of the place. Avol Ein, Avol Ein, Nirakemi. Aval ein yer kemi atagim tzachich reitagim l'shon esbia ein le mishar shmot v'yitzach l'tagim ma'alono d'chamos ad levo. It would be not l'motei, it should say ma'alono, to arrive d'chamos k'moshe k'chutim yonison. He's not giving an answer, but what does appear is something. It appears that there's a machloikis between Rashi and Ungolus. It appears this is, in fact, a very significant machloikis Rashi and Unkelus how to translate this pasuk. Moshe told them, go up, mi midbar tzin, ad Rechayiv, to Rechayiv, levoi chamos. Now, Rashi told us very explicitly, I want you to stick to the boundaries. I want you to hug the southern boundary and then hug the western boundary of the coast. And Rashi said there are two locations being mentioned here. There's a place called, you're going to start from Midbar Tzin, you're then going to go into Rechayiv, and Rechayiv, Rashi says explicitly, is on the bottom, it's on the southwest, and then you're going to go to Chamos straight up. And that means you're going to travel the land Kimin Gam, like a capital letter L. The way we, when we look, even though that's not the way, when we look at the map, the ordinary map of Eretz Yisrael, where the top is the north, the bottom is the south, so basically Moshe is telling them you're going to go like the letter L. You're going to start at the bottom of the letter L, along the right side, and go along the end, and go all the way up. And let's look at Rashi again very quickly. Rashi says, Holchu b'gvulecha b'oirech v'roichev, kimin gam. Halchu ruach gevul droimis. He says clear, explicitly, the boundary of the Doroim, mimiktsoya mizrach ad miktsoya marif. I mean, you can't get more explicit than this. K'moyesh etziva Moshe alu zeba negev. Derech gevul droimis mimizrach anayom. Shehayam hu gevul. Okay, I mean, there's another part. Moshe told them, from the Mizrachis Ad Hayam, the way that Rashi knows that this has to be the case, because when Moshe gave his instructions in the previous Aliyah, he says until the Yam, Shayam hu gevul maravi, umisham chozhu v'hochu kol gevul maravi al sas hayam, ad until levo chamosh, shehu etzel hor hor b'miktsoy maravi tzvaynis, k'moshu mefurish b'gvul saritz b'parash elim v'masa. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Rashi Taka didn't say anything about the word I'm focusing on over here is Gesundheit. The word for English over here is Rechoif. Ad Rechoif. Okay, let's go back over here to this Rashi. Look over here at this Rashi. The Rashi gonna be, where is the word Rechoif? They went. Shayam hu gevul maravi. Umisham chazu v'holchu kol gevul maravi. Maravi al sas hayam ad until levo chamos. He puts until you come to chamos. Shehu etzel har har. Okay, so I assumed yesterday. Maybe I'm wrong, but I assumed yesterday. I got to go back and check out what's going on over here. I assume yesterday that they went Mimidbar Tzin Ad Rechoiv, period. That's the southern border. And then when it says Levoi Chamos, now you make a turn. You turn 90 degrees and you go up. You go up to Chamos. The Targum says it's not the Pshat. The Targum says this, that the word Rechoiv is part of Chamos. There is a place called Rechoiv, which is the hub, which is the location which gets you to Chamos. Now, according to the Targum, it doesn't make any mention of going along the east, going along the south. According to Targum, it sounds like you're starting out from the Midbar Tzin. You're going up from the Midbar Tzin. Where is Midbar Tzin? We'll assume it's in the south. And then it almost sounds like you're cutting through the land on a diagonal. Because if you're going to say, Rashi emphasizes again and again, you have to go all the way to the Yam. Rashi could not be more explicit. You go and you're going to travel the Gevulos. The Targum doesn't seem to say that. And the fact, and the giveaway that there is a machloikis is because after we know this principle that we always come back to 1,000 times, is Rashi's commentary is not a commentary in a vacuum. He's coming to comment on Unkelus. He's coming to disagree, agree. He's making a comment. Whenever Rashi elaborates with an intensity, it means one thing only. Unkelus, I thoroughly disagree with you. If you say this, I say the opposite. Because when Rashi agrees with Unkelus, he's quiet. And sometimes Rashi will elaborate, but Rashi is writing a parish on Unkelus. If Rashi says, Kimin Gam, the letter L, and you're going to go along the entire south, and then you're going to go along the entire Givul of the West, and you're going to come until Hamas. The way I understood, you go Midbar Tzin Ad Rechoiv. Rashi says you're going to go along the entire south from the Midbar Tzin until Rechoiv. What's Rechoiv? Maybe Rechoiv means the entire width. Maybe that's really what it means. It means Ruchoy, maybe I don't know, Ruchoy was Orko V'Rochbo, its length and its width. Maybe what it means over here, maybe there is no such place called Ruchoyv, and Ruchoyv is a word which means its width. Rochbo. Rochbo, those are the letters. You're going to travel from the southern side, from Mimidbar Tzin, ad Ruchoyv, along the entire width, the entire span of the southern side of Eretz Yisrael. Then when you get to the Yam, you get to the Mediterranean, now, Levoy Hamas, move up, go up that boundary. Why is Rashi saying this? Because Rashi read the Targum, and the Targum seems, no, you're going to go through the land on a diagonal. You're going to go from Midbar Tzin, the south, east of the land, and then you're going to go, the Targum is taking these three words and he's joining them together. You're going to go from Midbar Tzin ad Rechoiv. It's a place, I don't know if it's a place, but it's an area, it seems, that brings you to Hamas. He's totally leaving out anything else. Is there a machlokes? I don't know. We look at the Targum one more time. Look how he translates this. Until Rechoiv Lemote Hamas. Doesn't say, he puts them together. Until this area, this wide area that brings you to Hamas, it almost sounds like you're going to go through the land on a diagonal. And that's why Rashi got all excited and said, this now cannot possibly be. You know why I can't possibly be the Pshat? Because Moshe Rabbeinu on the previous page says you have to go to the Yam. And the Yam means along the southern border to the Yam. Onkelos will tell you, no, you're going to get to the Yam on the north. You'll cut through the land on a diagonal, so the result will be that when you come to the top north, you've come to the Yam. You didn't come to the Yam on in the south, you've come to the Yam in the north. When you get to Hamas, Hamas is the north. West. But who says that you have to go through the land along the boundaries? Maybe even according until you come to a place called Rechov, which brings you to Hamas. See, there appears to be this big machlokes. Lemote, lemagia, perish, Rechov. You come to a Rechov. Let's assume this means a wide open area. Shemisham, this open area brings you magiim lechamas.
It translates Rechov as expanse.
So okay, expanse, right?
Expanse.
Okay, expanse. Okay, it's also so according to Rashi. So this, what is the expanse? So according to the, okay, let's assume that according to both of them, it means expanse. But what is the expanse? Is the expanse along the boundaries, or is the expanse along the center of the land? You're going through the land on a diagonal. It would appear from Rashi's comments that there's a disagreement between Unkelis and Rashi. According to Unkelis, the instructions were to go to the bottom corner of the land, the southeast, and go through the land on a diagonal to reach the northwest. Cut right through the land. That would make it much easier to understand how they came to Hebron. But according to Rashi, Rashi seems explicitly says that's not what they did. Rashi says they traveled along the two boundaries. And that it means he's translating the Pasuk. He's breaking up the Tamei HaMikra. It doesn't fit as good according to Rashi. They went up Mimidbar Tzin, Ad Rechov, along the entire expanse of the southern boundary, period. And then when they got to the southern boundary, there's a new sentence here, Levoy Hamas. Now the word Levoy is not, it's not very comfortable how Rashi is using the word Levoy. Now we're going to go from there up along the western boundary. All right, let's go further. Next words. Next words are, they came over here to the Yelidei Ho'anok. Now the Targum...
How does the Targum learn Rashi? Brings proof of that. It says, Vayala Banegev. in the next passing. How would the Targum come out?
Okay, we have to go get one thing at a time. Okay, there are a lot of loose ends. Everyone's going to have loose ends. Okay, we have to work it through. Let's just get the basic yesidus. Okay, we only have 2 minutes left. So let's just go do a little quick thing over here more. B'nai. It says Yilidei. There was Oner Eshkol Amamre. Who were they? They were the Yilidei Huanok. What does it mean Yilidei? If you wouldn't have a translation, how would you translate the word Yilidei? Yilidei Huanok, the children. So they should say Bnei Huanok. Why did the pasuk say Yilidei, not the word Bnei? If they were the children, it should say Bnei Huanok. So maybe you'll tell it means grandchildren. It means great grandchildren. Maybe it means they were, I don't know, you can make up whatever you want to make up. So how do you translate the word Yilidei? So the Targum was very bold, and he says, Sheishai, Bnei, they were children. Which simply means they were biological children. So if it means biological children, don't you think the Pasuk should say they were biological children? What's going on over here? So over here, he writes over here, Bnei, Targum Yilidei hu kolosh nakosav, avul kan perish lanu unko, Shahayu bonim mamish. Okay, the word Yilidei doesn't necessarily mean children. It means descendants. Descendants. Or people even, you'll say who have adopted children. I don't know what there are many different ways. The one who raised you. The one who raised me. Maybe they were as adopted children. For whatever reason, the Targum over here is very comfortable in saying that it means, in this context, it means biological children. They were of Anok. He translates the word Anok Giboro, the mighty. L'unkelis Anok b'mikra hu toya l'min gibor. The word Anok is not a name. It is an expression which refers to might. Kimoy, like we find, Kimo, Shekasa b'medrash, Shiva Shemus Nikulachem, these giants had seven names. Emim, Rifoim, Giborim, Zam, Zumim, Anokim, Avim, Nephilim, Giborim, okay, Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, B'Shem B'Yochan Omar, Moyach, Unkulus, Moyach, Unkulus, Moyach, what is it? Koilisai, the bone of the leg. Shel Echam Yehem Chaisa Nimdedes B'Yud Chesama. Just their leg, one bone of their leg, was 18 amos long. They were giants. Now the Unkulus look Ramban Shal Anok Ushmo Shal Avi Achim Moshe Shal Samai. Oh, he wants to point out that Unkulus is coming to dispute with the Ramban. The Ramban's tradition is the word Anok was his name, Mr. Anok. If you want to contact him, it's anok@gmail.com. Anok, that was his name. Don't misspell it. Doesn't mean a gibor. Okay?
The Nafka means. His name is Arba.
What?
According to the Ramban, Hebron is called Kiryat Arba because Arba.
The four giants.
Was the father of Anok. And all these
the other three together is four. Four giants, right, okay.
Yeah, so Arba was a grandfather to these four people, the giants, and Anak was their father. Anak was a child of Arba.
But then it's five.
Huh?
Okay, so then it's fine.
That whole wrinkle into what Rashi says.
Right.
Rashi says, the Ramban doesn't hold like Rashi.
Right, obviously. Ungulus.
Way off the chart. He didn't build Chevron. You know, the whole thing.
You're holding totally different, 100%. Okay, last thing is Tsoyan. What is Tsoyan? Is Tanis. Tanis. Uncle Shina Shemus Lefish Mashu Mashnigu Blush Narang Bidoiroi. Uncle is, this is a general concept that Uncle is, when it comes to locations, Uncle is took the liberty to tell you when it says in the Pasuk location, he told you on the map in his day what that place is today. So, I mean, that's a shocking thing to do. Because when the Torah says it was called Tsoyan. So Unkelis, when did Unkelis live? Unkelis lived about the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni. So Unkelis is living what, about 1500 years since the Torah was given. So, and since the time of the Meraglim, from the time of the Meraglim to the lifetime of Unkelis is how many years? It's about 1500 years, something like that. 1500 years. So this city called Soyan was no longer called Soyan. It was probably, they went, probably had wars, and it was demolished and rebuilt 20 times since then. And currently on the map, it's called Tanis. It's like you go and you sell to, you go somewhere, you know, in Baghdad. Where exactly is Aram Naharaim? Where is, there's Mosul, and there is Baghdad, and all these different cities, all the modern cities today, when you want to go talk about the ancient cities, where is that located on the map? So they tell you, you know where the city of Mosul is? That's the city, that's this particular city. Uncleus, when he wrote his commentary, it's a shocking thing, and it says Tsoyan, he went to the map, he went to Google Maps, and he typed in the coordinates, the GPS coordinates, he typed in the longitude, the latitude, to know this is where it's Tsoyan, and lo and behold, where Tsoyan was in biblical times, today on the Google Maps, it's called Tanis. That's a tremendous chiddush. Uncleus Shina Hashem was lefi mashchoy yenikur b'loshen Aram b'doyroi. And there, Targum Yonasani called it the Pisam Ramses. Okay, the Kohen of On. And there we call it Pisam. So we see over here that the names, the Gam Piachirois, okay, the names, they change according to the times. Okay, we'll stop over here, by saying tomorrow, Mishnah will go forward. Next Pasuk. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you, Rabbi. Good night.
Good night. Be well, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, Mr. Guana. Thank you very much, Mr. Guana. Have a wonderful night. Be well. Good night.